Our text will be the text from Colossians chapter 1, especially verses 13 and 14 that I read again. Who, and this is God the Father, who delivered us out of the authority of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of you may know this or not, but I happen to be a movie buff, and you probably heard that. And one of my favorite genre of film are films that depict Jesus as a character, or films that depict another character who is not Jesus but serves the role as a Christ figure. I like to watch Jesus films and Christ figure films, but today I want to radically change course and talk about films that depict the devil as a character. Can you think of any films that depict Satan as one of the characters? You might think Devil's Advocate or Ghost Rider. Typically, I don't like the way the devil is depicted in film. I don't think they do a faithful job. Now, you may say, how do you be faithful? Well, they don't give a biblical view of who the devil is and what he does. Often the devil's just a little too slick, a little too cool, and because God tends to be absent from these films, they almost set the devil up as if he is God's rival, an equal God who just happens to be evil. And because he's on earth active among us and God is far away in heaven, the devil seems to be a bigger threat, a bigger concern than God himself. And yet, ironically, at the same time, the devil is someone that we humans could easily outdo. In other words, if Nicolas Cage's Ghost Rider can send the devil hurling into hell, I'm not afraid of the guy. So to think of a good devil movie, I've actually got to go all the way back to 1981. And the film is Terry Gilliam's Time Bandits, which may be a film none of you have ever heard of or seen, though I would say it's a good film to pick up and look at. And this film has what my dad said was the best depiction of the devil in any film ever. And I would agree with him. Now, if you've never seen Time Bandits, I'm not going to waste 20 minutes telling you what the plot is. Just know that in the film, God is a character and the devil is a character. And the devil is simply called evil. And the main plot of the film is how the devil, evil, who has been imprisoned by God in this dark fortress, is trying to get out of the fortress so that he can undo God's creation. That's what he's after. He wants to escape from this prison so that he can go out and mess up creation. And in this film, this guy, evil, he is definitely a deadly foe whose arms mean deadly woe. On earth is not his equal. He's just an awesomely evil, diabolical guy. He hates God, and he hates God's creation. He's a liar and a manipulator. He is able to use people's greed and cravings and desires to get them to sin, to do what he wants them to do so that he can use them for his plans. He's a murderer who kills people. And again, no human can stand up to this guy. In the penultimate scene, the penultimate climax, various warriors from different time periods come to take down the evil one. And when the battle is over, the evil one easily dispatches all of them. He annihilates all of them without any trouble. In other words, there was never a contest between humans and the evil one. He could always outclass them. And then what was most telling about this character, evil, is that he rewards friends and foe alike. And his reward for everybody is death. He kills his enemies, but he also kills his own minions. He rewards them with death. And I remember watching this film with my dad when I was on leave from the Army. And when this scene came, my dad turned to me and said, "That's it. This is exactly what the devil is like. He wants nothing more than to kill everybody. And even those who think that he's their friend, he wants to kill them too." And then my dad gave me this warning. He said, "Son, the devil may come to you with temptation, may promise you everything you want and beyond. Don't listen. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. He wants you to go to hell. Do not listen to him." And I would say that the depiction of the evil one, the Satan figure in the Time Bandits, definitely depicts a guy who, more than anything else, wants to kill and destroy everybody. And so you might think about Paul when he talks about this authority of darkness, the authority of the darkness. This is a place where it appears that the devil is the one who's got authority. And what a horrible place to be, because his desire for you is your death, is your destruction, is your damnation. He may promise you good, but he's only going to deliver evil, because all he has for you are evil desires. And so what a horrible place to be, in the authority of darkness, where this guy appears to be the one who's got authority. He hates you, and that's not the worst of it. Here's the worst of it. Well, another thing Time Bandits does very well is eventually the final confrontation comes between the Supreme Being and evil. And when the Supreme Being shows up, he kills the evil one just like that. He just burns him to a crisp. No contest. God comes, the devil's destroyed, end of story. After the devil has all these elaborate battles killing all these people, God shows up and bang, the devil's crisped, and God just beats him without any contest. And you see in this film, sorry, the devil's not a god. He's not God Almighty. Sorry, God Almighty is God Almighty, and the devil is simply his creature. And so God basically destroys his creature whom he made, and the conflict is all over. And this is bad news if you are in the authority of darkness, the domain of darkness, because God is going to confront Satan and his realm, and he is going to destroy them. When the last battle comes, Satan doesn't have a chance. And if you are in the authority of darkness, then not only do you have to fear the hostility of Satan, you've got to worry about the wrath of God that's going to come to all who are in that realm. So worse than Satan's hostility is God's wrath. And that's why Paul builds up to this very powerful gospel message in his epistle opening to the Colossians. He tells these people they're saints, they're faithful brothers. He prays that they would grow in knowledge and faithfulness. And then finally he brings them to these words. God, the Father, has qualified them to be holy ones, to be saints. And then he says, this is God who delivered you out of the authority of darkness and has transferred, he delivered us out of the authority of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so this is true. You were at one time subject to the authority of darkness, subject to the evil, hostile whims of the evil one, and subject to the wrath of God. But God has transferred you from that realm to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He has delivered you from that realm and has removed and brought you to where Jesus is Lord. And where Jesus is Lord, that's where we find redemption, namely here, the forgiveness of sins. This is something Paul had in common with the Colossians, and that they have in common with us. Paul was delivered when he was confronted by our Lord on the road to Damascus. Then he spent 3 days blind and fasting, and then a faithful brother, Ananias, brought to Paul the gospel and baptism, and Paul was delivered from the authority of darkness and transferred into the realm, into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. For the Colossians, it happened this way. A faithful witness, Epaphras, brought the gospel to them. And when they heard and believed, God delivered them from the authority of darkness and transferred them to the reign of his beloved Son. And so it happened to you. God, through his proclaimed gospel, God, through baptism, has rescued you, has delivered you from the authority of darkness, and has transferred you, removed you from there, and brought you into the reign of his beloved Son, where there is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the reign of his Son, Jesus, whom Paul will later continue to go on to say he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the one through whom God the Father reveals himself. This is Jesus, who at his baptism took his place with sinners, though he's not one, and in his ministry forgave sins and overcame the destruction that sin has brought in healing and raising the dead. This is Jesus, who is faithful to his Father, faithful unto death, even death upon a cross, where Jesus died a sinner's death, and then he resurrected for you so that you would be delivered from the authority of darkness and transferred into the reign of God's beloved Son. And you no longer need to worry about the hostility of the devil. You're not under his authority. You're under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nor do you need to fear the wrath of God on that final day, for in Christ you have forgiveness of sins. God has forgiven you, and he has declared you saints, holy ones. Just as the Colossians were, so are you today. And keep in mind, this is really why we are here, Concordia Seminary, is to train pastors and deaconesses to go out with this same gospel so that this word would be heard by others, so that God would continue this work of delivering people from the authority of darkness and transferring them into the reign of his beloved Son, in whom there is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Good news to hear as you go about your vocations this summer, especially all of you whose vocation is summer Greek or summer Hebrew. Keep in mind who you are. You are saints because God has rescued you and he's transferred you to the reign of Jesus. You are citizens of the reign of God, the kingdom of God, where Jesus is Lord and where you are saved and your sins are forgiven. And so I pray that God would keep you steadfast to this faith, both now and unto life everlasting. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.